What's up, everybody? Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast, back for another week of shows, 4 to 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you as always, and alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. Today we got a fun show for you guys. Me and Gino kind of hinted on it a couple weeks ago when we were ranking the roster. We were talking about the defensive end position, which we both ranked. Gino, I don't remember. Did you rank it one or two? I mean, I had it number one. I can't remember if I had offensive line higher, but regardless,
I think we went offensive line higher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right. But regardless, me and you were both still very high on defensive, and specifically what we're going to get into today, mm-hmm. and of course defensive tackle, with one of the best I've ever seen do it, and Fletcher Cox still in the middle. Now you add Malik Jackson, Tim Jernigan back, but I want to get into specifically today defensive end four. It's a position that I'm actually surprised a lot of people have been concerned about, but there is concern for it because Chris Long retired, Michael Bennett was traded away, so I think some people are on the edge, really just about the defensive end position in general, because outside of Brandon Graham, I believe in Derek Barnett. I know Gino does too. I think there's less belief in Derek Barnett than I thought.
So, which is utterly shocking to me.
Yeah, it really is. So we're going to get into that today and kind of maybe relax a little bit of people's feelings, maybe their worries, I should say, about the defensive end four spot, maybe even defensive end three, depending on your thoughts about Vinnie Curry. So we're going to get into that today so we can maybe ease your minds a little bit about the situation there at defensive end. But for the first segment here, I just want to get into OTAs today, Gino. It was the second day for the media to be there. And from the looks of it, wish we could be there right now, but we're up in Buffalo currently. We'll get down there soon, but for
yes,
now,
sir.
Kind of just checking out what a lot of the beat reporters are saying. And Gino, it sounded like our boys, DeSean Jackson and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, were on fire, and they were clicking immediately with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, from the reports, it looks like Carson Wentz had another good day. From the videos that came out the last couple of practices, his knee looks good, man. He looks really good moving around out there. If he's got no limitations on him, which everybody says and practice has shown that he doesn't have any limitations, that's exactly what you want to see this time of year, Lou. We didn't have that luxury to see these videos leaking last summer because he was, frankly, he couldn't play. He didn't have his knee intact. So now you have that luxury to see these, to get these beat writers talking, to get the media talking, and rightfully so, because Carson Wentz is going to come out there and do exactly what we expected with these weapons. They're going to give them all offseason to flourish together. They're going to give them the entire season to flourish together. And Lewis Riddick, who was 2-for-2 on his last MVP picks the last two seasons, picked Carson Wentz to be the potential 2019 MVP. So if he goes 3-for-3, the Eagles should be in great shape. But Lou, one guy is getting me really excited, and that's our boy J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because I read today he went up against, unfortunately, Sidney Jones.
Your other brand.
And yeah, my two guys. They're my
defensive
guys.
And offensive brands.
The last two drafts, they're my guys. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside boxed them out and went up and got the football.
In vintage fashion.
Vintage J-Jaw fashion, which our listeners and fellow Eagles fans will come to see that that's exactly who it is. And it's great to see these young guys flourishing in camp, especially like some vets like Sidney Jones. And I mean, Sidney Jones can do all he wants, but J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is going to beat a corner 10 times out of 10 on that route. But we're finally in the swing of things again, Lou. We had a little bit of a dead period, but now we can actually, we got some discussion. We got some Carson Wentz talk. We got some defensive end forward talk. We got some receivers talk. There's a lot going on right now, and I'm feeling good just seeing what's been going on at practice.
It's really exciting, too, because Arcega-Whiteside's your guy, and DeSean Jackson's been a guy that I've been clamoring for to make a return to Philadelphia for about 3 years now. And specifically why I'm so encouraged about today's practice, not only because it's just so relieving to know that Carson Wentz is healthy right now, like people saying he just looks like the 2017 version with his leg being fully healed and his back looking like there's no limitations on it. That's just a relieving feeling, because that was the one thing holding back me just wanting to go all in on 2019 and saying, all right, this team is one of the best in the NFL. Like, they should be going all the way this year. They should be playing in Miami in February next year. But knowing that Wentz is healthy now is so relieving. But at the same time, he's clicking with Arcega-Whiteside and DeSean Jackson. And it makes sense, because both guys run routes that Carson Wentz thrives with. You talked about the back shoulder throw in the red zone today. Wentz is so good with that, with DeSean Jackson down the field. I mean, it's two players that are perfect for Carson Wentz's skill set, and they were clicking today. Those were the two guys that he was really favoring. And what's awesome about Jackson is they're using him in a bunch of different roles, it seems, early on. I did a podcast last week about DeSean Jackson returning to punt returning, and he was doing that today. Any way you can get him the ball more, because there are so many weapons, including J-Jaw, is something that I recommend, because he still looks as fast as he did when he left here in 2013. They were running him in screen passes today, short stuff over the middle. He was making some plays in the red zone. DeSean Jackson scored a touchdown. So I'm very encouraged that even if Aguilar, maybe they trade him at the deadline, maybe they trade him before the season, if they lose him in free agency next year, having Arcega-Whiteside and DeSean Jackson already with the two tight ends and Alshon Jeffrey, very exciting. And like you said, you mentioned the health. It's good that he can build the chemistry with those two right now, as opposed to last year he's dealing with that ACL injury.
Yeah, 100%, and I hope he gets to take these guys out to North Dakota again like he did a couple years back. Right. Unfortunately, couldn't do it last season, and just continue to grow that rapport. And, Lou, you know I love any report of Carson Wentz connecting with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, because I've said time and time again that I think he can be a number one receiver. I absolutely do. What I've seen on tape, his skill set athletically, his skill set on the football field, his mindset off the football field, he is a guy that you want in your building. He had an internship with former cabinet member Condoleezza Rice. He is a locker room guy. He's everything you want in a receiver. And to get him into a building with veterans that know how to win, like Alshon, DeSean, unfortunately DeSean doesn't have that Super Bowl, but we'll just count him in for now since he's back with the boys. But it's a very good position to be in. And like you said, with Aguilar, you're sitting there with a luxury currently. You can trade him and gain assets, or you could keep him on the field and have four dynamic top four receivers. Yeah, he looks cut up, man. He looks really shredded. Does. He looks like he took this offseason very seriously, and that's what you want to see out of him. You want to see him in this contract year prove the Eagles wrong. Give them a reason to want to extend you. That's everything I want out of Nelson this year. I want him to play with the chip on his shoulder, something that he hasn't really had to do throughout his career. I mean, he was proven down proven that he wasn't a bust, but still, he hasn't played with a mega chip on his shoulder, even in situations when he has had the opportunity to be the guy, you know? I want to see that out of him, and I think this is a perfect scenario to do so. He doesn't have to be the guy. He can just be one of the guys along with the 7, 8, 9, 10 options that they have in that offense. And it'll be nice to see once Miles Sanders gets on the field how they start to utilize him. Boston Scott made a couple of big plays in practice, so they have weapons, man. They're going to be fun to watch this preseason. They're going to be fun to watch in camp. They're going to be fun to watch during the season. And right now, you have a luxury on offense, something we have not had for a very long while.
It's hard to not see all the weapons and Carson Wentz be healthy and not want to make him that 2017 MVP that he really should have been, and now in 2019, especially last year. I mean, the guy's playing on a stress fracture who knows how long. I feel like it was probably the majority of the season, and he still posted numbers. I was looking at his numbers compared to Brady in 2017 when he won MVP, and, you know, they're pretty similar. If Wentz plays out those final three games, if they don't pull him for Nick Foles, he probably comes really close to what would have been MVP numbers in 2017. So I'm really excited about, I should say, that Lewis Riddick picked him to win MVP, because that's an opinion I really do respect. It's a guy that's neutral. It's a guy that last year picked Pat Mahomes, so you know he knows what he's talking about. So very exciting stuff. Wentz looks good. Arcega-Whiteside, DeSean Jackson. The offense really fun. Also seemed like Josh Sweat had a pretty nice day today. Of course, it's harder to evaluate defensive ends, which we're going to get into today. He's a guy right now that has an opportunity to seize that defensive end four spot now that Chris Long is gone, now that Michael Bennett is gone. And it looked like he could have had a couple quote-unquote sacks today in OTAs. He's wearing number 94 now, Gino, which is big for his brand. I think it's good for the look, and I think it's going to help him bounce back this year. And I think they're going to need him to, because if Sharif Miller is as raw as maybe they think he is right now, although Schwartz really talked him up, if Miller is not quite ready to make an impact in his rookie year, and we're going to get into it, I'm not very concerned about defensive end four. Josh Sweat is going to see a spike in reps this year, so hopefully he can continue this trend of looking good like he did last summer. Hopefully it'll translate on the field. So when we come back here on Locked On Eagles, me and Gino are going to get into why we think you shouldn't worry about that fourth defensive end, even really the third defensive end when we're talking about Vinny Curry. I want to ease your minds here on Locked On Eagles, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What's up, guys? It's Louis DiBiase once again, and here to talk about the Himalaya podcast app. Obviously, you can get our podcast anywhere, but we really want to recommend Himalaya, of course, first because it's free, and if you don't like anything that's free, you're kind of a psycho. It's super easy to use. It has every single podcast that you love or that you're searching for. They got personal curated playlists made for you by their experts on the app, theme-based playlist, which is really cool. So all your sports podcasts can be in one section, all your TV show podcasts can be another, comedy, mystery, you name it. You can follow all your favorite shows and creators. You can like the shows with some thumbs up, and you can also comment on individual shows, which we recommend you do as part of Lockdown Podcast Network. It's your team every day, so you got a bunch of episodes each and every day. I'm sure you got a bunch of takes on our Lockdown Eagles podcast, so now you can comment on them not only on Twitter, but on the Himalaya podcast app. They got shareable playlists too, so if you love the podcast your friends are listening to, you can check out their playlist and you can make them your own. So we really recommend you download the Himalaya podcast, not only to listen to Locked On Eagles, but any podcast. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Tuesday edition of the show of Eagles in the swing of things right now in summer activities, OTAs going on. We got mandatory practices starting June 11th, but right now they're hitting the field. Everybody seems to be looking healthy, seeming to be in good shape, so we're excited about that. On today's edition of the show, now what I want to get into is why we're calm when it comes to the defensive end position, at least me and Gino are, and here is the reason why, at least for me, and then I'll get Gino's thoughts. It was a luxury to be as deep as they were. And to me, it's not a necessity to have a dominant defensive line. As long as you have really good starters, like top tier, like the Eagles have, it's. I know Schwartz rotates guys, which impacts it a little bit more than some other teams, but look at the dominating pass rush teams of 2018. You look at a team like the Rams. I mean, they only had three guys last year that made a significant impact getting the quarterback, and two of them were defensive tackles in Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. They traded for Dante Fowler. He made an impact, but they were getting to the quarterback regardless. I mean, let's look at the Chiefs. D Ford, I mean, they led the league in sacks last year. D Ford has 13. Jones inside, 15 and a half. Justin Houston with 9. I mean, so there's three guys there. Chicago, outside of Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd was the only guy on the edge in Chicago that had over 3 sacks. He had 4. So you look at, I mean, Houston with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. All of these teams were really good at getting to the pass rusher, but they didn't have 6 guys that could consistently get there, right? I mean, at least with the sack numbers that showed up, they had a couple, top tier guys on the edge or inside, right? Because Akeem Hicks with Chicago, Chris Jones with the Chiefs, J.J. Watt with Houston, Aaron Donald with L.A., these teams had a established dominating pass rusher inside, and then maybe a top-tier edge guy, maybe not even really one. So the fact that we're sitting here, once again, how the other half lives, and we're kind of griping about the fourth defensive end, for me, Gino, is something that you should just not worry about, because as long as your starters are Derek Barnett, Malik Jackson, Brandon Graham, and Fletcher Cox, I mean, that's going to consistently get to the quarterback every single game.
I agree. Absolutely. I think we can't overlook what we lost. I think Chris Long and Michael Bennett are two very, very good pass rushers in their own right. They've proven it time and time again. The careers that they've had, both Super Bowl champions, both excellent pass rushers, Michael Bennett inside and outside, Chris Long, that third down specialist of rushing the football. I mean, combined, you're looking at losing over 1,300 snaps. That's no small amount.
No, but then you add Derek Barnett now healthy. Correct. You bring back Vinny Curry. I mean,
correct.
Now you don't have to move guys inside as much with Malik Jackson. So I know that's what you believe too. So
that's where I was headed.
But yeah, that's where I'm like, when people really give that take, that I think is our best counter.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this Eagles team is, where were they strongest rushing the football last season? I would argue that through the middle, they were the most effective. And what did they really do this offseason to show that they are going to put an increased emphasis on rushing up the middle. They went out and got Malik Jackson. They brought back Tim Jernigan. They have the unit there now that they should have had last season and that they had in 2017. They wanted to get that interior pressure. Haloti Ngata wasn't the answer. He's a more run-stopping guy. Now you have the ability to rush Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, throw in Tim Jernigan. If you want to pull Brandon Graham, move him inside. You have that ability. You have the ability to move Fletcher Cox outside, which we've seen him do in his career, because he can rush anywhere. He can rush. He could be a 0-1 anywhere on the line. You get outside of a 6 tech, then I would question it. But he can rush 1-5 tech any day of the week. Malik Jackson is the same thing. Jim Schwartz was talking today that he loves his versatility at defensive end and defensive tackle. So, yes, looking at it in the grand scheme of as a defensive end four, are you going to go up from last year? I highly doubt it. But as a collective unit, pass rushing wise, with the ability to have more pieces to move inside and outside. I mean, frankly, we didn't even mention Brandon Graham's ability to move inside too. He won the Super Bowl for us rushing inside. So you could play chess. Now this is where you have to start to play chess. You have all the pieces that fit your system, that fit the bill of this pass rusher. You have the Malik Jackson speedball. You have the Fletcher Cox that is going to get doubled all game long. Now where does that pass rush come from? You're going to have to overload some sides. You're going to be able to win not too much with speed, but with power with Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett. You hope that the young guys like Josh Sweat can come in there and get meaningful snaps. But as a whole, you are going to be able to replace that pass rush. I truly believe so, because I think that you now have more options with the personnel you have in the doors to move guys like Fletcher Cox to defensive end, because there's going to be matchups when you're on a left or a right tackle that's the weak part of that offense. He's gone out of his way to move Fletcher Cox to the outside. He's gone out of his way to move Brandon Graham inside, and they've seen effective pass rush snaps like that. The reason they brought Michael Bennett to town last season was because he had that ability to play both inside and outside. So looking at it strictly from a defensive end four, yes, maybe you take a decrease losing Chris Long and all those snaps. But right now, I think you're in a very good position because, one, you want one of these guys now to compete for that defensive end four spot and make it and take it and to win it, basically.
Well,
and Josh Sweat won
fourth round.
Exactly. You go out there, you have Josh Sweat, you have Sharif Miller, and you have Deshaun Hall. Guys that all played, well, Sweat and Hall played some snaps in the league last year. Give them the ability to win that job. Let Sharif Miller, if he looks good in the offseason, which Jim Schwartz went out of his way to praise him today, let him get some pass rush snaps. But you have to hope that one of those guys comes out and takes that job. If not, you're going to be relying on other guys on your defense that, yes, you're going to have to move them from defensive tackle to defensive end on some snaps, but I truly believe they have all the ability in the world to do so.
All right, let's take one final break here on Locked On Eagles. We'll continue this talk when we come back. We do want to thank our sponsors on today's show, Hotels.com. Guys, don't hate like your friend's trip. We know on Instagram, you're going to like it, but you're really hating out of envy, out of jealousy that they are in the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, wherever. Get your own, book your own trip on Hotels.com. Get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there. Do that. Get rewarded. We thank them for sponsoring Locked On Eagles today. And also Grip 6. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift. Go to Grip 6. They have a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. We'll be right back right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, guys, we are wrapping up the show on this Tuesday edition. Me and Gino kind of easing your minds about the defensive end position, really defensive line in general, Gino, because you really made a good point before we hit the break about inside pressure and how really Michael Bennett, Schwartz said it today in his press conference, Michael Bennett did a lot of his damage inside. You replaced that with Malik Jackson, who I think as a traditional defensive tackle is one of the, I think he's still top tier when it comes to pass rushing defensive tackles. There's not that many dominant ones, and I think he's still up there at, what, 29 years old. So you replace Bennett, let's just hypothetically say, with Malik Jackson. We'll go from at the end of the year last year when they were really getting going, what they replaced this year with what they lost down the stretch last year on paper. They replace Michael Bennett with Malik Jackson inside. Then you replace Chris Long, what I would say right now, with a healthy Derek Barnett. And I can argue with how good Derek Barnett looked that first month and a half of the season last year, that's an upgrade. You bring back Vinnie Curry to be another edge rotation. I think, and Tim Jernigan, a guy last year, a half a sack in both playoff games, he is motivated right now. He is going to be in shape. He's going to be fresh because he's going to be in a rotation now with Cox and Malik Jackson. I am more confident right now that they're deeper than they were last year. Here's another reason to ease your minds about defensive end four. Last year, they were better getting to the quarterback down the stretch when they were really only using a couple guys. They were using Fletcher Cox inside. They were using Brandon Graham, Chris Long, and Michael Bennett because Derek Barnett got hurt. So there was only four pass rushers last year that you were saying, okay, they're going to go after the quarterback. That's who we're featuring. So now that they already have four in their starting lineup, on top of Vinnie Curry and Jernigan being below them, so there's six guys right now I'm confident in. Last year, you only had four, but people were okay with it because they knew the talent that they had in those four players. So once again, that's what I'm saying. For me, it's quality over quantity. Quantity is good in Schwartz's defensive scheme, but it's not a necessity when you have so many impactful. I mean, it would be something you would want. You would want to have four edge rushers that, and maybe if they were all just solid, right? If they were just okay, you would want to almost run like a committee at running back. You'd want to run a committee at defensive end. But when you have the talents of Brandon Graham, hopefully Derek Barnett, and your inside guys right now, those that big three, I mean, you're not really going to me at least need as much a rotation.
I agree with you 100%, Lou. I think they have enough in this building to get it done. And you just look at Pro Football Focus's pass rush grades last year. We're forgetting about a guy who had a significant impact in pass rush, and that's Trayvon Hester. I mean, the snaps he was putting out towards the end of the season were very good. He was getting after the quarterback. He ended up grading out with an 85, which is just 1.4 points behind Fletcher Cox in regard. Oh, sorry, I was looking at run defense. I apologize. That's still very good. But pass rush,
still good.
He graded out better than Malik Jackson, I meant to say. I apologize. He graded out 74.7, and Malik Jackson graded out at 70.1. So a guy that's going to be in there, he's going to be your third or fourth defensive tackle, coupled with a guy who they just traded for in Hassan Ridgeway, who they really like. They brought him into the building for a reason. And I didn't even bring up Vinnie Curry rushing the passer last segment, Lou, and you made a great point. Now, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about your quantity so much now that you have your quality. 2 years ago, Vinnie Curry was a starting edge rusher on your team. Now he is a rotational player. Last season, Tim Jernigan was going to be relied upon to be your defensive right. tackle too before he gets hurt. Now he is a rotational player.
You have
a luxury. This is right. a luxury.
You have two guys that now will not be starting up front that were starting on your Super Bowl defensive line.
It's crazy. I mean, and you upgraded at both positions. You upgraded. That's an easy upgrade without question, in my opinion. Derek Barnett over Curry, and then Malik Jackson over Tim Jernigan.
Well, and I think it's people really, I think you point to, people are associating losing Bennett and Chris Long with their disbelief, I think, in Vinnie Curry and Derek Barnett. While I can understand that, and especially for Vinnie Curry, to me, I'm still okay with what Vinnie Curry could do this year, because last year he was dealing with a lot of injuries. It was a brand new team. I mean, he was in the same city for the first, I mean, however many years of his career. From 2012 to 2017, so 2018. So the first 6 years of his career, he was in Philadelphia. But, okay, sure, yeah, Vinnie Curry compared to Chris Long, Michael Bennett getting to the quarterback is a downgrade. But you have to think of this as adding, you really cannot ignore Malik Jackson in this equation. And you can also, to me, I don't think you can bash Derek Barnett outside of maybe him not staying healthy last year, because the guy, when he's been on the field, has been always solid against the run. And now, to me, he was getting better when it comes to getting the quarterback. I mean, he had 5 sacks his rookie year, but last year he implemented a spin move into his repertoire, which he did not have his rookie year. He made some clutch plays, including the game-winning sack on 4th and goal against the Colts in week 3. I would argue he was their best edge rusher, maybe outside of Fletcher Cox, their best defensive lineman last year at the start of the season, with Brandon Graham still getting back from injury. So, again, I maybe that's why people are more nervous that they don't have that depth now, because they don't believe in some of the guys up top. But I guess that's pick your poison. But I'm still a Derek Barnett guy through and through. I think he was having a breakout sophomore campaign, and I think if he's healthy, he's going to pick right back up where he left off. And to me, so is Tim Jernigan healthy now. So I'm really not worried.
I'm not worried either. And we talk about this pass rushing bit so much. I think their run defense, it's going to be just as good as well. I think Derek Barnett was arguably their best run defending edge player when he was getting his snaps.
Him and Graham together might be the best run stopping edge.
I think so. I was just going to bring that up, and that's another point. And you're going to force these teams into third and long situations a ton throughout the season if your run defense picks up where it did last season. And that's where you're going to have to worry, and that's where you're going to want to get to the quarterback. And if you see concerns on those third and long situations where you're not getting the quarterback, then we could talk about the conversation we're having now. But if you're going to be sitting there and you're allowing teams 3.8 yards a rush or 4.1 yards a rush, you're going to be sitting pretty on second and third and long, and you're going to let these guys go eat and get after the quarterback. And it'll be interesting to see what he does, what Jim Schwartz does on defense, because I think having Zach Brown back there allows you to get after the quarterback more, because a big hiccup that not a lot of people talk about last season was their inability to tackle in the open field. Yep. Now you have one of the best open field tacklers in Zach Brown. Let the guys get after the quarterback a little more. Let the gaps open. Let them get a little loose. Let them play let them get after the quarterback and be those fastballs which you want, because you're going to have Nigel Bradham and Zach Brown behind them to clean up if anything gets through the gaps.
Right, you know you can secure, maybe it's going to be a five-yard play if you miss that sack, but it's better than maybe what last year would have been, you know, a first down.
Yeah, a missed tackle. We saw it how many times that the guys should have been on the ground after 1 or 2 yards and end up breaking a 15, 20-yard run. So I'm very confident in this defense, in how they constructed it and how they compiled their overall talent, because Jim Schwartz wants his defense, and the best defense Jim Schwartz has had, I'd have to say, it was that Bills team about 6 years ago when they had Mario Williams and Nigel Bradham. That defense, I'm pretty sure, led the league in sacks, if I'm not mistaken.
They were the best defense in the league outside of Seattle. I mean, they were incredible. And in that team, I mean, they had a solid top four: Mario Williams, Marcel Darius, Kyle Williams. But like, were people talking about who the fourth defensive end was for that team?
That was the one year that he finally got his team together and constructed it in his thinking, in his brand, and they flourished. They were one of the best in the league, and now there's no reason for me to doubt Schwartz with more players that fit his system the way that they do in 2019. There's no reason to doubt him, in my opinion. Until he gives me a reason, and until the defensive end four becomes a problem, then we can talk. But right now, with what you have, you're 7-8 deep across the defensive line, even more if some of these young guys come out to play. We're fine, Lou. In the words of the great Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax about that defensive end four. We're going to be just fine.
Now, in fairness, if you want to trade, with all that being said, if you want to go out there and trade for Jadeveon Clowney, be my guest.
Oh, yeah. We're not even going to bring up that rumor. Yes, please. Go and get him for a year. If you want to franchise tag – no, you can't franchise tag him. But if you want to go out there and take on his contract for a year to get after the football, by any means necessary, go do that.
Because then at that point, Vinny Curry's your defensive end four, and there you go, Jets fans. Now you're all happy.
And everybody's happy. All right.
Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for everyone out there tuning in wherever you're listening. Maybe it's LockedOnEagles.com. Maybe it's the Himalaya podcast app. Maybe it's Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Wherever we are up and available, just tell Siri, just tell Alexa to play Locked On Eagles. You can also check them out on Twitter. We'll keep the conversation going at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. So I just put together a Sidney Jones highlight mix. We tweeted that out on the official Lockdown Eagles account, again, at Lockdown Birds. And also I pinned it to my profile at DiBiase LOE, because you guys have been here. We're going to get into a secondary podcast this week, the Cornerback Wars pod. Really excited about that one. You know we're a big secondary podcast here on Lockdown Eagles. And we've been talking a lot about Sidney Jones's promise. And I put a visual to that now up on Twitter. You can check out that, and we'll get into Sidney Jones, we'll get into the corners this week. We got a whole bunch more of shows this week, so make sure you subscribe to the show so you get them on your phone, and then you can listen to us on your commute to work, maybe your commute home, wherever, whenever. We always appreciate you guys listening to the show. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase, signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds, baby.
Fly Eagles fly.